Life doesn't happen to you. It happens through you, because planted in the soil of your soul is a seed of infinite potential waiting for the right conditions to grow. And the power to activate it is in your control. That's the law of emergence. And this podcast gives you the tools to turn it on like never before. Welcome to Emergence, a revolutionary path for radical life change with Derek Riedel.
Greetings, my fellow Emergineers. Derek Riedel here, founder of The Law of Emergence, best-selling author of the book Emergence, and your guide on the side for this journey. Instead of the sage on the stage, I'm the guide on the side for this journey into the full and total emergence of your potential, the full awakening of your destiny of greatness, your divine identity, and your sacred destiny. And today on this training workshop, we're going to be diving into creating a compelling vision for your life, and not just for your life, but more specifically for this coming 12 months, wherever that falls on the calendar right now, wherever you are when you're listening to this, if you're listening to it live or listening to it as a recording. You know, there's the old Chinese saying, when is the best time to plant a tree? And the answer is 30 years ago. And when is the next best time? Now. So wherever you are in your journey, if you're listening to this and it's the middle of the year, it's understand that calendars and clocks and dates, all of that is arbitrary. All of that is made up. So you can, the right time to create a compelling vision for your life and for your the next 12 months of your life, let alone the next 12 hours of your life, is always now. It's always the right time to tap back in, to dive back in, and to really activate a compelling vision for your life. Because there's always something seeking to emerge. There's always a larger version of you seeking to emerge. There's always more life, more light, more love, more peace, more joy, more beauty, more abundance, more wholeness and harmony, and all that makes life wonderful and good is infinite and inexhaustible and uniquely patterned as you. And it's always unfolding. It's always knocking at the door of your consciousness saying, let me out. And so the more and more we're willing to live on that emerging edge of newness, the more we will find our life continually renewed and restored. And that is, in fact, the only place where real security exists, is in that emerging edge. There is no security in the world. There is no security in form. There's only security in that emerging impulse, that emerging edge, that evolutionary impulse. As the old saying goes, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. So let's take a moment to dive in and just do a little activation, a little quantum prayer, to set the tone for some real insights, real breakthroughs, to become more available to our life, our vision, the potential, that imprisoned splendor that is seeking to emerge. As I simply drop down into this field of grace and invite everyone to join me there, throwing ourselves wide open to the power and the presence and the love of God, the love of the divine, the love of love itself and life itself, throwing ourselves open to this in this moment. We don't drag the carcass of our past into this present. We don't try to live on yesterday's mana. We don't lean on the past. We don't even lean on our present, which is really past knowledge, thoughts, beliefs. We throw ourselves wide open to what is real, what is now, what is always fresh and new and always flowing and unfolding infinitely, inexhaustibly. Unlimited power, unlimited joy, unlimited supply, unlimited strength and love and light and goodness. It's infinite, it's inexhaustible, it's our true name and nature. It's what we're made of, and it's right here, right now. There is nothing else going on. There is no other power or law or presence or principle or authority over our life and being than this one life, this one presence, this one emerging something, that is all loving, all giving, all knowing, and all good, and is our very life and being. And so we surrender to it. We open up to it. We let go of all the past, all the old concepts, beliefs, all that the identities. We let go of all karmic propensities. We just surrender everything to this energy. All opinions, all preferences, all expectations, except for one, and that is to awaken fully to our true identity and divine destiny, and to become a transparency of it, to become a pure, clear, strong enough place where the full life and light and love of the divine, that infinite good, can pour forth as us like never before, in a unique and perfect pattern, a divine, compelling purpose and vision. And everything in the universe supports this. Everything is for us, nothing is against us. Everything is conspiring in this moment to wake us up, to reveal who we really are and why we're alive, to reveal the most compelling vision for our life and for this next year. Everything is for us, nothing is against us. Because the whole universe is conspiring to put itself on display as us. That's its whole reason for being. To shine its life and light and love in a unique and compelling and unprecedented way called us. It's happening now. It's unfolding as divine guidance, direction, right action, whatever needs to be seen or heard, released, embraced, thought, spoken, or done to support the full unfoldment of this divine impulse, of this compelling vision. It's happening now. With an ease and a grace and a dignity, with a joy and a fun and a playfulness. Life is magnificent. Life is good. Life is celebrating itself. Life is dancing and singing and celebrating from a place of wholeness and health and wealth and harmony and abundance and pure, radiant fulfillment, bliss, and ecstasy. Life is not coming from a place of I'm missing and lacking and something's wrong and so I got to create a vision to make it all better. No. Life doesn't know anything about the conditions. Life doesn't know anything about the past or any of your thoughts about it. It only knows I am. I have, I can, I am able, let me out. And so any and all defensive mechanisms, coping mechanisms that are trying to stay the same and change the world, that are still keeping us small and trying to make ourselves feel better in our prison of limitation, are dissolved and disintegrated. And we are so available. We're saying in substance, I'm available to more good than I've ever imagined, experienced, felt. I'm available to more good than I can even handle. I'm available to being an instrument of more love and life and light and good on every level of my being than I've ever seen or imagined, than the world has ever imagined. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm able. Use me. Show me. Send me. Have thine own way. And this emerging impulse is saying, yes, thank you. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. In you I have found a worthy place to shine my life and light. It's happening now. And so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath and just feel that activation. We're talking about creating a compelling vision today, in this moment. And of course, it bears talking about for a moment, why is a vision so important? And for some of you, maybe that's like a no-brainer. But there's a reason why it says in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. That if you don't have a vision, a compelling, inspiring vision that's pulling you, that's seeking to emerge in you, then you will be driven and pulled by the precedents of the world, by the universal beliefs of separation, lack, limitation, by whatever the common denominator of the times and the trends, family, history, your genetics, etc. That's going to be what drives your life. But see, all of that is an old thought. It's an old coagulated belief. None of that is real or power. It's old thought. And you didn't come here to just fit in. You didn't even come here to save the world. You came here to serve an emerging paradigm, to be an unprecedented expression of life. And so if you aren't tapped into that compelling vision that's seeking to emerge uniquely as you, then you are not really living life at all. You're not really at all fulfilling the reason why you showed up here. And a life without vision, a life just merely lived in survival and reaction and coping and fitting in, is not a life lived at all. It is literally a non-life. At the end of the day, in the end of that lifetime, if all you've done is gotten more possessions and gotten a TV screen bigger than the vision for your life, and you haven't really tapped into your vision, you have not lived the life you came for. And you probably should have just sat this one out. And I know that sounds a little harsh, but you didn't come here for a vacation. You didn't come here just to get a good sale at, you know, the Black Friday, or, you know, get nice clothes. And, you know, you didn't even come here just to get anything. You didn't come here to get fame or fortune or name. You didn't come here to get anything. This world has nothing to offer you. You came here to give something. You came here to deliver, and through the delivery of that, you will awaken and evolve more of yourself. And the only thing the world can give you is feedback or a canvas to paint your masterpiece on. But it doesn't have anything to add to you or take away from you. The word human comes from a Sanskrit term for man that means the dispenser of divine gifts. You came here to dispense your gifts. You came here to evolve your soul and to deliver a unique, unprecedented expression of life. So if you're not doing that and bearing that fruit richly, you are not in integrity with your soul or with the universe, and you will not get supported. That's why, you know, the old parable of Jesus, or the so-called expression of Jesus cursing the fig tree because it wasn't bearing any fruit and the fig tree dies. It's representing that if you're not bearing the fruit after your kind, the fruit you came here for, what's the point of you being here? You're not playing your part. You're not serving your role. It's like you've been cast in a play and you're just standing on stage and doing nothing or standing off in the wings. You're going to be fired. So it's understanding living a compelling vision isn't just about, you know, touchy-feely, feel good, have more stuff, more name, fame, and fortune. It's about getting in integrity with the very reason why you're here, so that all of life can come to your aid and support. Versus if you're not living, then life will seem to go against you. As the Gospel of Thomas says, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. That energy of your vision, which is not something you make up, it's what you're made of, it won't be able to express, and it will wreak havoc in your life. So this really is a matter of life and death, that you get clear on your vision, that you create one, that you create the structures to support it, and that you really truly live into it now, starting today and for the rest of the year and for the rest of your life, that this becomes the way of life. This becomes what you're about. Because the opposite is to sign off on a journey of disintegration and lack and limitation and stagnation and ultimately suffering. That's just the way it is. It's not personal. It's a law. It's principle. So also, in the most simple terms, if you don't know where you're going, then every road will take you there, and you'll be lost. And if you're not thinking for yourself, something and someone is thinking for you and through you. So having a vision and having a direction and committing to it is about you being in the driver's seat, so to speak. Of course, we know you're not really in the driver's seat. You're more the co-pilot. But it's about having you determining the direction, not the world, and not going down a bunch of blind alleys because you have no direction at all. Now, the other thing I want to talk about just briefly before we dive into more specifics is this that's been bubbling up for me is, you know, just as when you, if you believe in reincarnation and different lifetimes, just as when you come into a new incarnation, you let go of the past incarnation, that you have to live in this one fully, that this is where all the action is, this is where all the power is. There is no substance or life to your past incarnations. It's only what's present that has any power. So you have to be willing to be fully present. And the same is true with your life, and understanding that you don't just reincarnate every lifetime, that every year is a new incarnation. It's not just past lives that we have to let go of, but past years and past days and past forms of relationship, family, work, etc. All of that is gone. It's gone. Yesterday is gone. You can't fix yesterday. You can't improve upon yesterday. You can't improve upon last year. You can't improve upon last incarnation. And if you do, what happens is you pull that into your present. You end up pulling that lower vibration, that limited concept, and then you try to fix the concept. And you're always then at the level of the problem. And as Einstein said, you cannot solve the problem at the level of the problem. If you keep pulling your past into the present and then trying to make it right, trying to change it, then you are in a constant loop. And you can never truly get to the next level. Even if you manage to manipulate appearances, you're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. You're not living 70 to 90 years. You're living the same year 70 to 90 times. So you have to begin to understand and accept that the past is gone. It arises to pass away. And you must accept that it's over, accept that it's gone. That relationship is never going to happen again the same way. Your children have grown up. They're never going to be little kids again. You know, whatever the situations are that might still be dogging you, those mistakes you made, you can't unmake them in terms of the fact that they happened. But there is a vision, there's an idea, there's a pattern that's been trying to emerge all along and is still trying to emerge. And I really want you to catch this distinction. That pattern, that divine idea of your life, it doesn't know anything about your past. It doesn't know anything about those mistakes. It doesn't know anything about the age or the calendar, the clock, the compass. It doesn't know anything about your concepts and beliefs of what should or shouldn't be and should and should have been. Or it doesn't know anything about that. It only knows its own perfection. It only knows its own completeness and its own wholeness and its own fulfillment. Love only knows love. It doesn't know all those moments when you didn't experience love. So you don't have to go back and relitigate and try to figure out all the reasons why and then try to use all that to have more love now. The love that's trying to emerge now doesn't know anything about all of that. And it doesn't care. It only knows I am love. And when you get in touch with it, and you activate it, it will come forth. And the less you are pulling the past into the present, the less you are trying to create a present based on the past or as a reaction to the past, the more you are a pure channel for it to emerge. The less you are still investing your present energy in the past, the more energy you'll have in the present. So you must accept it's over. It's done. That doesn't mean you can't. That doesn't mean you can't learn from it and that you can't use the pain of it to have a deeper question for what's true about you. You want to let it go and then you want to harvest all the blessings from it. So as an exercise, as we move forward into this next 12 months, this next year of your life, You want to look back at your year. You want to recognize that whatever you did or didn't do, it's done. And you really want to let it go, being willing that you may never think about it again, being willing that you may never look back again. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? She turned into a pillar of salt. So you don't want to look back, because the truth of you, the destiny of you, the vision of you doesn't know back. It doesn't know forward either. It only knows now. And so if you look back, you're putting your energy back into the past experience. You're literally reactivating it, reanimating it, and losing all that energy for the present. And you're clogging up the filters to have the clarity for what's actually emerging now. Now, let's say you wanted to write a book last year and you didn't do it. It doesn't mean the book's not trying to emerge now, but it will emerge more purely and cleanly and clearly if you don't drag the pain or the sadness or the fear or the anger of not writing it last year. If you just get clear on the now. But it's also possible that the things you thought you were supposed to do, be, create, contribute, are not true. And there's something different. So you want to be available to that. You don't, as the old scripture says, you do not want to live off of yesterday's manna. It falls fresh from heaven every day. And what that means is that there's the insight, the power, the energy, the wisdom of your life, your vision, your destiny. It's unfolding and emerging fresh in this moment. And the passage goes on to say that if you try to hold on to yesterday, it will rot in your hands. If you try to save something from yesterday or save something from today for tomorrow even, it will rot in your hands. Because it doesn't know yesterday or tomorrow. It only knows now. And in the now moment, everything you could ever need exists. So as best as possible, we want to be fully present as we tap into our vision and our destiny and our goal, so that we're being pulled by a vision, not pushed by pain. So as you look back over your past, just begin to consciously release it. Feel yourself truly letting it all go, even whatever appears to be unresolved. And you can ask yourself right now around the one or two areas that maybe you've struggled with most this last year, what is the greatest lesson or insight I'm meant to learn from this? What is it trying to tell me about who I really am and why I'm alive? What's it trying to tell me about who I really am and what I'm here to create or contribute? And how has it been a blessing? This last year, whatever I've struggled with, how has it been a blessing? How has it helped me grow? How has it deepened my practice or my intention? Purified me in some way, humbled me, opened me, driven me to learn in some way, to grow in some way. How has it been a blessing? So what has been the lesson? What has been the blessing? And I invite you to write, if you're not driving or something and you can, to take pen to paper or fingers to keys and jot down what's coming up for you. You can close your eyes as you ask these questions, but then allow yourself to take some notes for what comes up. And now I want you to consciously release last year, and if you can, all the years before. Just imagine a vortex of golden violet light in front of you, and you just take a deep breath, and as you exhale, you release all of it into that fire, into that flame. You let it all go. It doesn't exist anymore. The life you're meant to live is in this moment. And it's able to emerge whole and clean It actually has nothing to do with your past, nothing even to do with your current conditions. It doesn't know anything about it. God's eyes are too pure to behold inequity. This divine destiny is now, it's whole, it's complete, it's available. And it's ready to break out and emerge like never before, with clarity and compelling right action, guidance and direction. And so, as you now are more fully in this moment, look at your life right now and the different life structures, health, wealth, work, relationships, personal development, spirituality, service. And just notice, where do you really deeply, truly want to grow the most? And just pick, you know, maximum just right now, for right now, just focus on one or two areas. Let's say two. That if you could make a big change in that area or those areas, it would really move the needle for you. Really identify those two areas where it would really make the biggest difference for you. What would really make true progress for you, or what would really matter if you could make real progress in these two areas? You feel and sense that it would really make all the difference. It would really give you momentum. And what would that progress be over the next year? If you could really get this result over the next year, what would that be that would really, really make a difference in your life? And now, some of you I know don't know what your life's vision is and all that, and you might be saying, well, I don't know what my vision is. Understand, I didn't ask you that. I'm saying if you could really make real progress in this area and if you achieve that particular progress, you feel like it would really create momentum in your life, powerful, positive momentum. What would that be? You might say, to absolutely have crystal clarity of my vision and be living it fully. That might be a big piece for you. To have crystal clarity about my unique work in the world and to be fully living it. Or perhaps you're a coach, but you don't know the specific type of coaching. And really to get clarity on that. Or perhaps just having a certain number of clients. So there's always something that's trying to emerge. You do know what kinds of improvements would mean progress to you. And what would really make that a successful year for you. At least in this moment, you have a sense of it if you allow yourself to feel into it. Doesn't mean it won't change and evolve over the year. Just means there's something bubbling up right now. If I could really make progress in these two areas. Now, if you currently make $50,000 a year, you probably don't want to have as your big goal in that structure of wealth to make $1 million. Because it's not something you're going to easily be able to really grasp or believe, and your mind's not going to lock into it. So, for example, maybe if it's $50,000 you make now, maybe making $100,000 would really, really be significant. Again, you want to look at it, if it's with whatever the goal is, look at what would be the dream goal, and then begin to back it up. Back or go down until it gets to what would feel like not good, like a failure. And then go back up again until it would feel like, yeah, this may not be the ultimate, but this would be really good. So for example, you're making $50,000 now, and if you could make, and you say $1 million, and then you go back, you know, okay, $500,000, $250,000, 100,000, 75,000, 60,000. Like, that doesn't start to feel that good. That's not very inspiring because you're already making 50. So to make 60, that would be nice, but it doesn't really get you juiced up. But when you hit 75 or 80, you're like, if I can make another $30,000 this year, that would really change my life a bit. I could pay off my debt or at least pay it down. I could put a little money in the buffer account. Like, that would be real progress for me. And that you start to feel that energy in you. That's what you want to get to. So it doesn't have to be $1 million or millions of dollars, you know, that probably won't even feel as exciting. I want you to notice this as 80,000, if I could go from 50 to 80. Or maybe you're making nothing right now with your work. And if I could make even my first $10,000 or $15,000 with my work, whew. I remember the first time I made $500. The first time I got like a $100 online sale, I was doing cartwheels. That changed my life to see that I could have somebody buy something online when I wasn't selling it, and all of a sudden it shows up in my, I get an email that says from the merchant account, you've sold a $97 product. Changed my life. But I wouldn't have likely said a year before, if I could just make $97. But I think I had said, if I could just actually make money when I'm not working, that would be a big goal, passive income. And so seeing that first $97 was like, whoa, there's something real here. And then I remember the next one was when I was on vacation with my family and we're driving across country and I open my email and there's, you know, a couple dozen sales in there and suddenly the whole vacation is paid for and we're, you know, it's just money flowing in while I'm on vacation. It wasn't tens of thousands, it was several thousand. Changed my life. A whole nother paradigm shift. So you're looking for that juicy spot. If you could suddenly go from making nothing with your coaching, teaching, writing, healing, whatever that might be, to suddenly actually making, you know, hundreds of dollars every month or having made $10,000, I want you to really feel into that. Doesn't mean you won't make more. It's, you know, this or better. Would that feel like a real win? Because you want, and then you'll find that spot that is juicy, but doesn't feel like, you know, it's so far beyond where you are that you don't really engage it. But you also don't want to go so low that it doesn't feel juicy anymore. You definitely want it to be engaging, inspiring, compelling, and make you a little bit nervous. So look at those two areas. So if it's not money, it could be, you know, physical. It could be losing a certain amount of weight. You know, if you're 100 pounds overweight, you might not say, I'm going to lose all 100 pounds. You might, but again, how many have you lost in the last 6 months? And if it's not much, or if you've in fact gained, saying I'm going to lose the entire 100 pounds, again, might not feel like you can really plug into that. But if you thought, if I lost 25 pounds, that I took off and kept off, I could go down a size or two, I could start exercising more, I could, you know, whatever the case may be, like that would be a real win. Or maybe it's 50 pounds, which is certainly doable over a year. Or maybe it's, you know, 5 pounds a month, 1 pound a week. 1 pound a week is like, what is that? 2,500 calories or something. I don't remember the exact breakdown. Or no, maybe it's 5,000 calories. Anyways, it's, you know, 5,000 calories burned off extra a week. It starts to be like, I could really do that over the year. That's 50 pounds gone. So, and I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to reverse engineer it a little bit later. But look at, you're finding that sweet spot. And you're finding those goals that to achieve them, would have significant leverage on your life. That's really important. So it's not just, you know, I'm going to get a big screen TV and a nice car and all that. You know, if you're a teenager, getting a car would create incredible leverage over your life. But, or if maybe if you can't drive around right now. Maybe that is. But what I mean is those kinds of goal achievements that really impact most other areas of your life. For example, getting into physical conditioning, creating an athletics type of life where you are exercising regularly. That changes everything if you haven't done it. It creates more energy to do what you want to do. It creates more clarity for your mind to think clearly and be more productive and creative and connected. It causes you to start wanting to eat differently and eat better. It changes your mood. It impacts every area, every other life structure. Likewise, living your true life's work, actually living into it, creating the things you want to create, beginning to deliver your gifts, also impacts every area of your life. So those are two particularly big ones. If you're really, really struggling financially, that can be one because it can give you leverage on suddenly feeling like you have the time and the space to do other things. But I can tell you that you could begin to do other things even if you don't have the money by making that a commitment. And then it starts to open up the energy and then the money starts to flow as well. So just look at those two areas. Begin to flesh those out a little bit. Two areas you really want to grow in, and if you could have really make strides, it would really create real progress for you, real momentum. Maybe it would be, you know, writing that book. You know, getting into a great relationship. And now I want you to just take it a little deeper and look at, and by the way, if some of the things that come up for you are much bigger visions, bigger than a year long, that's okay. You can write that down too. And then you want to just think, where would I want to be, you know, within a year from now in relation to that vision? You know, if what comes up for you is I'm financially free and I'm teaching and coaching and speaking and traveling the world, beautiful, write all that down. But then we want to reverse engineer it to a year and say, where would you need to be in a year to be really on track for that and to feel really, really excited and inspired about it? Where would you want to be and need to be in a year? And then you deepen it now just by asking, if I could really, really have what I want, not just what I think I can get, not just what I think I'm capable of, not what I think I should do or be, but if I could really, truly have what I deep down desire, my burning heart's desire, that thing I maybe have never spoken out loud or only in hushed tones, if I could really do, be, create, and contribute what I deeply, deeply desire, what would that be? What would that look like? So for some of you, you might be writing goals like making a certain amount of money and stuff like that are about really surviving and improving your life, but there's something deeper. If I could really be in this kind of relationship, or if I could really, you know, be in this kind of environment, if I could really create this kind of thing or make this kind of contribution, suddenly that lights you on fire. And you realize in retrospect that what you were coming up with before, although they may have sounded good to the world, were more about coping, capitulating, surviving, or, you know, materialistic goals that seem to be the right idea, but aren't really the thing that lights you on fire. And it's much easier to get the thing that lights you on fire, the thing that you really, really want, than it is to get the thing that you think you should or could get. We don't want our vision and our dreams to be based on should and could. Now, I might sound like I'm contradicting myself when before I said, if you're saying a million and you've never earned more than 50, you should probably lower your bar a little bit so that you can engage. These are not, I'm not saying, these are not, this is not a contradiction. Because you first start with, you absolutely create a vision that you will engage. But when you come to the core of that vision that matters most to you, it must be the thing that lights you on fire. That's okay if you don't come to it fully today, but that's what we're going for always. That's the heartbeat. That's the flame of our progress. That's what we want. That's the energy we want to get tapped into. So it could be that you were thinking about going this direction, but it would really be about writing this book. Or it could have been writing a book that you think you should write, but it's really, I really want to write this book that's scary or controversial or so vulnerable. Or it could be that you had a coaching practice or an idea for a coaching practice that is doing a certain thing, but if I could really do what I want to do, it would be this. Then that's what you want to begin to identify as your vision, your compelling vision, and then ultimately your one-year goal. Just take a deep breath. Just releasing any tension, any fear, any resistance. As you're tapping into and being willing to see and feel and admit to your burning heart's desire. Could be a relationship that you've, maybe you're praying or you're setting a goal to improve a particular relationship. Or to feel better about yourself in it, but your deepest heart's desire is a whole nother quality of relationship, a whole nother kind, a whole nother level, and you're afraid you could never have it, or you're afraid it would mean the dismantling of your current relationship or relationships. It would mean you having to do something that's really scary, leaving that job that you thought was your security, leaving that relationship, moving out of that area. But if you're really honest with yourself, this is what you want. This is what's really knocking at the door of your heart and saying, let me out. You must begin to acknowledge that and to yield to that and to begin to design your life toward that. Your life will never work. Not really, if you don't. You'll end up in addiction, stagnation, or worse. Because what you bring forth saves you. What you do not bring forth destroys you. So now we'll just deepening it or clarifying it even just a little bit more. And I know many of you have done this process, and we're not going to do the whole process. We're just going to do a quick version of the soul profile as we're just deepening the layers of what we really want to do and be, create, and contribute over the next year or beyond. But we're focusing it all ultimately down to the next year. We want to look at who are a few people in the world, either the past or the present, that we really, really admire. That we think are amazing in some way, some capacity. We love their message, their story, their talents, gifts, abilities, their heart, their spirit, their consciousness. Just take a moment to bring a few people to mind. Again, it can be anybody from Jesus and Buddha and Gandhi and MLK to the neighbor down the street or your Uncle Joe, as long as they meet that criteria. And just write their names down, and then write down what it is about them that you admire, that you love, that you think is amazing, talented, gifted, their story, their message, the fact that they stand for this, or that they were willing to go for this regardless of circumstances, the qualities that they express. What is it about them? And write that down quickly. And so for those of you that don't know what this is really doing is it's showing you not who they are, but who you are. It's giving you a glimpse, because whatever pulls you is a projection of your own unintegrated power and potential. So what you're seeing in them and resonating with is really a quality or aspect within you that's trying to emerge. And so now what I want you to do, as you're identifying these qualities, put your name up there and imagine, you know, I, and then your name, you know, I, Janet, I, Amy, I, Mike, I, John, I, whoever, am, and then read off those qualities and kind of get a sense of what this is, your soul bio, your soul biography, so to speak, your emerging bio. So it might be, you know, I, Bob, I, Amy, I, Laura, I am a dynamically creative speaker, teacher, healer, with so much love and compassion and strength to go for my dreams no matter how hard it is, et cetera, et cetera. And then I want you to now ask, if I was that person, how would I show up or want to show up in these two areas that I've chosen? So you've picked one or two goals, one or two life structures, the area of health, wealth, work, relationships, spirituality, personal development, service. Now you add this to it. If I was being this person, then what would my big vision look like? Either the big life vision and or the 1 year vision slash goal. What would that look like? How would I show up? What would I create or contribute? And so now you're taking this, as opposed to just generally, and you're looking through the lens of these particular life structures that you're focused on right now. If I was this loving, caring, powerful, eloquent person, compassionate, etc., fully expressing in the area of my finances, fully expressing in the area of my relationships, or whatever the life structures you're focused on, what would that look like? What would be the greatest possible vision for my life in that area? The greatest possible outcome, goal, achievement? Other things, just stay in this moment. Stay with what's coming up for you. And as other things come up, like, oh, this will never happen, I can never be that, I can never do that, you can write those down on a separate piece of paper or a separate document. And then go back to the vision. If I could really live my highest vision, my deepest desire, not what I could or should, but what I deeply, deeply desire to be, do, create, contribute in these areas that I've picked, and I could be this person that I've just described through this soul bio, what would that vision look like? What could be possible then? What would I want to be, do, create, contribute? How would I want to show up? And you can even add to it, if I was guaranteed success, guaranteed to be brilliant, to be well received, then what would it look like? Who would I be? What would I do, create, contribute in these areas? And I want you just to open it up again a little bit more and just say, ask yourself first, on a scale from 0 to 100, as you look at this vision for your life, for your year, on a scale from 0 to 100, 0 being somebody please shoot me now, and 100 being, oh my God, I can barely stay in my body. As you imagine living this vision, where is it on that scale? Be honest. I'm not saying where are you currently in terms of fulfilling it. I mean, as you feel into that vision, where does it feel if you were living it? 0 to 100. And now wherever you are, just imagine 10 points higher and say, what would it take to make this, you know, X? If you're at 50, what would it take to make it 60? What would I need to remove or add to this vision? And you want to be thinking in terms of categories like who you're being, how you're showing up, who you're doing it with, who you're doing it for, what other things you're doing in relation to it. Like, you know, are you having fun? Are you taking care of yourself? Do you have the time you need, the space you need, the support you need? So those are elements you can begin to add into it. So let's say you have a vision of, I'm earning $100,000 a year from my coaching, and, you know, I've written and I've lost 50 pounds. And it feels like a 60 or 70. And you say, and I'm sharing this journey, you know, with my partner who's really supporting me or whatever, or I've got support structures around me to really hold me accountable and to love me and support me and champion me. Or, you know, I've got some help with the technical aspects of this particular thing, so I don't have to do it all on my own. And suddenly you notice the energy bumps up. It expands. And so you want to ask yourself, what would I need to add to this or take away to make it to, you know, the next level up, 10 points up? And keep asking yourself that and see how high up the scale you can get. And you can even ask, is this what I really want? Really, really, really want? Or is this just what I think I should do or could do or have to do? Now, again, we're not saying you're doing it. We're not even saying you think you can do it. We're saying if you imagine living into that, how does it feel? Now, if you're still getting stuck, you can also ask, what am I afraid I will lose or have to sacrifice by going for this or by living this vision? So, for example, you know, it's a vision of success in your business, but when you ask that question, you hear, I won't have time for my family. Well, then you need to add time with your family into your vision. So I'm a thriving, successful coach making $100,000 a year, and I have lots of fun, adventurous time with my family. And suddenly you feel the energy expand, and it bumps up another level. It goes from 60 to 70, 50 to 60, etc. Or maybe you say, you notice, I'm afraid I would lose. If I really live this, I'm afraid I would. I'm afraid I have to sacrifice. I'm afraid I'd lose. And then you hear, free time. I wouldn't have any time for myself. Great. So now you know you need to add time for yourself into the vision. So I'm a thriving such and such doing X, Y, Z, and I have plenty of time to take care of myself, to exercise, to meditate, to read, whatever. And suddenly you feel the energy release, the resistance release, and the vision expands, the energy expands, and it bumps up. Now it feels like a 60 or a 70 or an 80. You get it? So just keep asking you, what would I need to add or take away? What would I need to do differently for it to go from whatever the number is to 10 points higher? And you just keep asking that, what would I need to add or take away? Who would I need to do it with or for or how or where? For it to feel like a 60 or a 70 or an 80, wherever you are. And just play with that for another minute as you try to see how high up the scale you can make that vision as you craft it. So now, and you can always revisit this audio training to go deeper, to take longer, if you still need it. Now we want to make this real. because a vision without a plan is a fantasy or wishful thinking. So you want to plan your life as if you're doing all the work, but live your life as if God is. But you want to have a plan. So now you've got this one-year vision, or the beginnings of it. And so now I want to invite you to take the time in this moment to just imagine, because you're not dealing with too many elements right now. You're dealing with a couple big ones. So let's just say it's write a book and lose 50 pounds. Now you want to reverse engineer that into four quarters of the year. So 3-month increments, 90-day increments. Imagining where would you need to be approximately to be on track for that big vision at the end of each quarter or at the beginning of each quarter. Yeah, the end of the first quarter, the end of the second, end of the third, in order to be on track for the final goal at the end of the fourth. So, for example, let's say it's writing a book. And, the average, let's say it's a self-help book. The average book, 250 pages, 75,000 words, give or take. And so, and let's say you at least for this, the sake of discussion here, you're not necessarily including in there all the rewriting and all that kind of stuff that might, you're just getting the book done. The first, full complete draft. And so you take those, you average, 250 pages, and you say you'd have to write on average 62 pages, whatever it is, per quarter, right? So that means you're writing an average of 20, 21 pages or so every month, which means if you just take the weekdays, it's 20 days, you're writing a page a day. That's it. So now you've reversed engineered it that you'd have, 60 pages done by the end of the first quarter, 120 pages done by the end of the second quarter, et cetera, et cetera. And it basically breaks down to about a page a day during the week. Some of you who want to write books are probably going, huh, that's not so hard. This is one of the things that happens when you start to really get clear. It's not write a book, it's write a page today. A page. Can you write a page? Of course you can. Doesn't have to be a good page. Don't get it right, just get it written. Or what if it's losing weight? Oh, I got to lose 50 pounds. That's so hard. Yeah, that would be hard to do if you tried to do it today. But over a year, as I said before, so it's 20, let's just say it's, what would that be, like 12 and a half pounds a quarter or something. So that means about 4 pounds a month, or let's say 1 pound a week. 1 pound a week, which, again, I don't remember the exact numbers, if it's 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 calories equals a pound. So that would mean you just that on a daily basis, let's say it's, let's say it's 3,000 calories. So it's like an extra, less than 500 calories a day to lose a pound a week. So that means you just have to burn an extra 500 calories a day versus what you're taking in versus what you've been doing before. That's, maybe a 45-minute, exercise. Good exercise. Sweating, burning. So if you do 45 minutes a day, now that's just burning it. That's even if you don't change your current diet, and take in less calories. If you take in 300 less calories a day, which could literally be your Starbucks Frappuccino, and you burn an extra 200 a day, which is literally a walk around the block probably, or a jog around the block, you've met it too. You see the point? So suddenly it's not that big of a deal. It's very, very doable. And so that's why it's important to not just have these big lofty goals that you put on a list, earn $1 million, earn $100,000, get 20 new clients, get lose 50 pounds, which you look at, and they're not really goals. They're not really tasks or to-dos. They're just these big goals that haven't been saddled. They haven't been grounded. And your mind has a hard time engaging them. So now we started from vision, from what you really deep down wanted. That's why we don't just start from what you should just achieve on a basic level. We start from the things that really matter to you most, the things that are you're struggling with, the things where you deep down desire to be, do, create, and contribute, and then we reverse engineer it. Just take a moment right now and do that. But for right now, just take this moment in this collective consciousness where you have this energetic support to just take those big couple goals for the year and break them down over the next 4 quarters, what you would need to achieve. Don't worry about getting it right. Right now, we're just getting momentum. We're getting something down that we could actually move towards. Now, if you know that writing that book, you need to first decide what you want to write, then you might have as your first quarter figuring out what you want to write and outlining it and all that as part of your first quarter, and then the other quarters would be the writing of it. If your goal is to make money, you know, make $100,000, if you don't yet know how you'll make that, that's okay. But you could begin to open up to what might be the how. If you could earn it in any way that you deeply desired, what value could you offer? If you do know it's, let's say, with a coaching business, then you could look at, well, what do I charge clients currently? Or what do I imagine I would charge them? Let's just say it's $100 a session. How many sessions would you need to get $100,000? Well, if it's $100, you would need 1,000 sessions. It doesn't mean you need 1,000 clients. It could be that you have your clients for several months. So maybe you need 100 clients over the entire year to do a minimum of 10 sessions. Or maybe it's 50 clients to do a minimum of 20 sessions, which could be a few months or give or take. And then you can break it down to how many clients you would need to get each quarter. So it might be 30, you know, 20 clients a quarter or whatever. 30 clients a quarter, so it might be 10 new clients a month. And that means, you know, 2 or 3 clients a week. Now, when I really do the in-depth work on this, you know, you can break, and I invite you to do this, you can break that down even further and ask, what does it take to get a client? You know, on average, how many conversations? If you've ever done it before, you might have an idea, and if not, you could have part of your plan be researching that. So it might be it takes 5 conversations to get 1 client, 5 free sessions. And if you're going to get 2 or 3 new clients a week, that means you need 10 to 15 free sessions a week or a few calls a day. And again, can you have a few calls a day? Now, you may not at the moment know how to get 3 free sessions a day with people, but then you know what you need to do. You get it? So by getting specific, and I know some of you, I've seen actually some, right when I started talking about this and getting this specific, I saw people start to pop off the line. And it's very common. When we start to really bring this down where the rubber meets the road, it feels dense or heavy or hard, or people feel like, oh, this is nothing new. This is is what is the difference between the winners and the whiners, between the dreamers and the doers. It's real easy to have a big vision. Or for some of you, it's not easy, but it's easy to have a goal. I want to make $1 million. I want to have 20 new clients. I want to lose 50 pounds. Anybody can do that. It's now, what is it going to take for me to actually do that? What does it really take? Because all of these things you've come up with are doable. You really can transform your life over the next year to be as good or better than you've just imagined. But it's not going to just happen. It happens just. It happens by law, lawfully. You have to be engaged. You have to change. You have to become the change you want to see in the world. You have to be willing to do this kind of work, at least at this level, until you've gotten such momentum that perhaps you don't need to always be this specific because you're a pure, clear channel. And for a lot of spiritually minded people, they resist structure and scheduling and planning because they think, shouldn't I just go with the flow? And the answer is, yeah, if you are a pure enough channel that the flow you're going with is the flow of God. But for most of us, that's just not the case. The flow that we're going with is full of resistance and reaction and projection and fear and unconscious patterns. And so you're flowing down that river and you're going to flow right over a waterfall and crash on the rocks below. That's the flow a lot of us are going with. Or you'll end up, you know, in a little caught in some kind of little tide pool or eddy or thicket of brambles and branches. And so you have to take conscious command and control of your life direction and create structure and get the level of structure and support and accountability that will hold you on course until you develop new habits, new momentum. As Confucius said, all men are alike. It is our habits that separate us. And your habits determine your character, and your character determines your destiny. Not your past, not your karma, but your character, which is determined by your habits, which is determined by the structures and the support and the accountability that you build into your life so that you do something with consistency. And then if you want those habits and character to create a good destiny, then you have to have the structure, the support, the accountability, the leverage that's got you moving consistently in a direction that's progressive, in a direction that's about more of you expressing, more of you coming out, more life, more love, more peace, more joy. Without that, you might be building habits, but they're bad habits. They're not progressive. They're not constructive. They're not congruent with your soul. You hopefully understanding, if only in this moment, that when it starts to feel hard or confusing or heavy, or it brings up all the reasons why you don't think you should do it, could do it, or have time to do it, this kind of work, that's the moment when you need to dig in the most. That's your weak spot. That's the spot that trips you up every time. That's why you're not getting the results you want. When it suddenly gets down to real world stuff, you know, doing the stuff that it takes to really anchor and embody and manifest in this world, you bump into your thresholds and your shadows and your values conflicts and you check out. So don't do that. Don't do it now and don't do it at all. And to ensure that, you need to have the structure and the feedback system and the support to keep holding you accountable for what you say you want to create. If you want to make $100,000 this next year or lose 50 pounds or deepen your connection with the divine, have a greater permanent state of peace, have a deep relationship, whatever it is, you can create that and more. I'm telling you. But it won't just happen by you doing one little training, getting inspired, getting some ideas, but then not actually implementing. It won't happen. It requires consistency, discipline, structure, and focus, most of which are four-letter words to the heart-centered, spiritually-minded individual who was traumatized around control and power and structure. And so that's what caused them to pull away from the world and their body and go into their heart and their spirit. And that's beautiful, that's wonderful, and that was necessary. But now to anchor that back into your body and into the world, you need to embrace all of these pieces.
To ensure you never miss an episode, subscribe now. Follow Derek on Facebook and Twitter at Derek Riedel. And for more free tools and resources, check out DerekRiedel.com.